Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the foothills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
And today's date is March 23rd, 2023.
Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most still don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message.
And the phone number is 620-878-4682. That's 620-878-4682. If you have an emergency, text Dan. Let him know you're going to call him on his cell at 316-619-4886. That's 316-619-4886. You can always find the breaking news and updates about the Wichita Mission Church, the radio program archives, and all of our contract information on our ministry hub, which is prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
Remember, we're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the internationally on some independent FM stations with four different MP3 streams, Twitch, Rumble, PhoneBridge, and picked up by every podcaster out there. Okay. Let's thank our listener base
in worldwide places like London, the United Kingdom, Tomsk, Russia, Kiruna, Sweden, and in the USA we have Irvine, California, Washington, D.C., Houston, Texas, and Hutchinson, Kansas was the largest group of listeners last week when it posted on the podcast. It'll post later tonight at branch.podomatic.com, branch.podomatic.com.
Okay, folks, dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. And please give everyone out there ears and wish to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father Yahweh and your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Now our song.
Yes, it's everything I know.
Well, that was Brother Ben, and I don't even know if the man's still alive. How long ago was it we did have?
He's been on our mailing list since the 90s, but his newsletter came back
this last time. Yeah. I know that, but previous to that, didn't he send us something about?
He sent us a letter or something about he was preparing the land for.
About a year ago or something?
I think it's been about 4 years ago.
Oh, I don't think it was that long.
Two or three. It was before 2020, or before the pandemic.
Huh. Well, anyway, that was Brother Benny's in Texas. I don't know if he's still alive or what the story is with him, but those songs that you hear playing, you know, it's kind of a tribute to him, and he had a radio program called the 70th Week Magazine, and, you know, he was only on, it was funny, it was a really popular program, but he could only afford 15 minutes a couple of times a week on shortwave, but he had a good program, everybody liked it, and, you know, that's where the music got some people together, and he called it an end time band, and so they made those songs really good.
Wasn't that his one too?
Yeah, that was the name of the band. Yeah, come think of it, yeah, it was Remnant, the end time, you know, end time band. And but you know, he personally wrote all those songs. You know, those were his. The band just, you know, helped him as a band does. But anyway. The songs to me are more relevant today than they was then, because that was clear back in the 90s. Anyway, moving right along, a lot of stuff going on out there. We'll start this one so we can talk about it.
Okay, this is Southwest pilot suffers medical emergency, becomes incapacitated mid-flight, Josh Yoder. I'm being notified by passengers on a Southwest flight departing Las Vegas that the captain became incapacitated soon after takeoff this morning. He was removed from the flight deck and replaced by a non-Southwest pilot who was commuting on that flight. This is now the fifth pilot incapacitated that I'm aware of in the past 2 weeks. What if there hadn't been another pilot on that flight?
All flights by federal law have to have a pilot and co-pilot. You don't go up in a jet without a co-pilot. It's against law, federal law. They can't get away with that. So, and I'm not calling it good, I'm just stating the way things are, but, you know, it would be really, well, I believe it's the shots doing it, blah, 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 all that. I don't think that two of them, you know, the pilot and the co-pilot would have a problem at the same time, you know what I'm saying?
Well, if they got vaccinated at the same time, they could have the problem at the same time. Yeah.
Well,
that's not funny. I'm sorry.
Well, right, but being realistic, that's pretty doubtful.
Yeah,
because
there's
not a timed effect. Here's what I'm trying to say. You know, there's not a timed effect. It's not like, okay, it takes a shot and we know that in an hour,
right,
it's going to go off, because it affects different people in their bodies in different ways. Some people have heart attacks from it. Some people have brain aneurysms from it. Some people have reoccurrences of cancer and things. And so
they've got lung disease too, I think.
Well, anything that a blood vessel goes to, I mean, you know, all of it, the broad spectrum of things. It's not just limited. We could probably go on for an hour and talk about all the different kinds of things that it would affect. And we are seeing a lot of people with reoccurrence of cancers, you know, but a lot of strokes and brain aneurysms and heart attacks, you know, and blood clots, you know. It's terrible. It's terrible. And there is some things that they say that they think that you can detox from the shot. Go over to Natural News and look around over there. They'll tell you. I know they mentioned a couple of different things, but I don't have them embedded in my head to remember them. Okay. For a second here, I want to talk about the Sumter Gambit. Now, for you people that listen to us live, you go, wait a minute, Pastor Dan, aren't you and your wife usually on first and then the other program on, you know, afterwards? Well, tonight, to make it easier on him, that's why I had him on earlier, was I had Robert Spencer on. He is the director of Jihad Watch, and he's written numerous books, and he does a really great job. He's teach military and FBI and everything about jihadism and all that. So he's really, you know, credible guy. So we talked about his new book called The Sumter Gambit, and that was really eye-opening to see somebody talking about all the things and having them in one place, like we've been I've been talking about on radio with different guests for a long time. But what it's all about is the left trying to start us, trying to get us, trying to get the right, you know what I mean, the conservatives to react and start a civil war. If you folks remember right, Dmitry Dudeman said that before China and Russia would attack America, first it would start with an internal conflict brought on by the communists. Now, we know the people that are in power right now are communists. Everything they do is communism. If you don't believe me, go listen to a radio program that we did, which will be on podcast later tonight. And I want you all to go listen to it. I want you to share that radio program, and I think you ought to listen to it more than once. But the point is that they're trying to get us to react. That's what January 6th was all about. That's what all of it's all about, is trying to get us to start it. You know, he even pointed out, now, Sumter, have you ever heard the word Sumter before, Mother?
Heard what?
The word Sumter before.
Uh-uh.
Well, people, if you know history, and she might snap to it when I start talking about it, but where was the first shot fired in the Civil War? Okay.
Probably Sumter.
Fort Sumter. Well, right.
Yeah.
So what the Fort Sumter was actually what the rebels, you know, the South called their territory, but it was manned by the Northerners. And, you know, they were surrounded, whatever. And so they were told that, and this was before any shots were fired. And they said, well, if you resupply that fort, you know, because they needed resupplied, people eat, right? Okay. They said, if you resupply it, then that means, you know, that's going to be the first shots fired. And so, both sides were trying to goad the other side into firing the first shot so they could say, well, you started it. And that's the way that the left's trying to do now. Ergo, so they named it the Sumter Gambit, just like the first Civil War. So the South did fire on us first, you know, and that which started the Civil War. Well, that's what the left is trying to do. They're trying to get us to fight back first, charge a riot. You know, that's why he's called them every deplorable name they can. And we know that. That's what they want. That's why they have Antifa dress up and act like they're, you know, MAGA peoples, and, you know, they're their foot soldiers, Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Anyway, instead of going into all that, go over and listen to the radio program. It'll be up later tonight, and it's a really good program. We cover a lot of things. We even cover some back stuff about Richard Nixon and some other things, and the military-industrial complex. So you really, really ought to go listen to it. Anyway, moving right along. Let's go to this.
Okay, the Defense Department reports 75% of Americans ages to 17 to 24 are unfit for military service. According to the report from the Department of Defense that was released earlier in March, the overwhelming majority of Americans ages 17 to 24 are not fit to serve in the military. Alluding to a February 16th congressional hearing, the Defense Department report highlighted how 77% of Americans in the aforementioned age group don't have the physical qualifications to enter the armed forces. This represents a 6% increase from 2017. One of the factors that explains the alarming levels of young Americans being unfit to serve in the military is obesity. Tyler Durbin of Zero Hedge noted that obesity reached roughly 42% in 2020. Back in September of 2020, a U.S. Army general did not mince words when he said that young Americans have several characteristics that make them unable to serve in the military. Some of the challenges we have are obesity. We have pre-existing medical conditions, we have behavioral health problems, we have criminality, people with felonies, and we have drug use. Lieutenant General Xavier Brunson told the Spokesman Review of Spokane, Washington. Brunson described it as a condition, saying that this is not an Army problem, so nationally we have to look at what it's going to on with our youth.
Yeah, so what he's saying is yeah, it isn't just a problem that they can't get in the Army because they're unfit, but he's saying if our young people are unfit, they're criminals, they're felons, they're overweight, you know, and so on and so forth. And so they're not fit to get into the Army, but that's a problem, period, with the youth.
Well, and most of them, all they do is sit around on the couch and play video games and eat snack foods and drink pop and eat candy bars. And now they're going to get fit if they're going to be eating snack foods and playing Game Box all the time.
Yeah, you know what?
Box game or whatever they call it.
Yeah, somebody put a picture on Facebook the other day, and I went ahead and forwarded it. By the way, if you want to find me on Facebook, and if you're one of those people who said, well, what happened to you? I got hacked, so it's now it's Daniel Catlin Sr. Daniel Catlin Sr. Friend me, and I'll, you know, friend you back, or however that works. But anyway, somebody put a picture out there, and it was of a beach, you know, a beach picture of everybody on the beach, but it was in the 70s. And the thing that they were pointing out is how everybody was in this picture. It was a crowded beach, but people were talking to each other and everything, you know, in this picture. But you couldn't see anybody fat. They're overweight at all in any of the pictures, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, it was stunning because now the picture is everybody's, you know, they got bellies and all that stuff. And it's because, and it's actually greed that made it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, and so the greed being that people, you know, we used to, the regular McDonald's hamburgers, which is not even, I think it's a 4 ounces of meat is what that is. A regular McDonald's hamburger is only 4 ounces. And that was the regular size of a hamburger back then. And the small fries that you got then, that was, you know, not a small fry. That was a regular fry. And the drinks was also small. That's what people ate and would fill them up. But then they thought, well, we'll make a double, you know, and then we'll add another piece of bread and so on and so forth. And so one's got to outdo the other. So then you end up finally with a quarter pounder and then half pounders and large, extra large drinks, so on and so forth. And it's not out of anything have to do with health or feeding the hungry. It's about making more money than your competitor. And so it's actually greed that made everything oversized, greed, more money, competition, that made everybody fat. So, you know, that's where it's at. Money, the love of money is the root of all evil.
I think I've heard that before.
You've heard that before. That's funny. Okay. We really don't have time to go into that. Well, we can start. We'll see what it says.
I've actually heard that the root of all evil is the love of money.
Yeah,
I've also heard the root of all evil is the money. So any way you go about it, it's the money.
Money in itself, the Bible says that the root of all evil is the love of money,
Yep. Not
money, because you have to have money to function. You know, the disciples had to have it. Everybody has to have it. You have to have money to function. That is a thing. But it's the love of money. It's greed, you know, wanting more and more.
Yeah, it's wanting more and more and more that makes you do the things you're supposed to be doing to get it, right?
Right. And the love of money lets you buy the evils.
Right.
You know, it's just like prostitution. You know, there wouldn't be prostitution if you didn't have a way to buy it, you know. So, you know, because you got to give them money, right? So
the oldest profession of all.
Well,
one of the oldest professions of all.
It's called the oldest profession. That's just a saying. I don't know who originally said it, but that is a saying. They call it the oldest profession, you know. And what is this? Money is a tool. It's a creation. Shouldn't love the creation more than the creator. Yeah, I get it. Anyway, we're supposed to put, and there's a thing, Frank, and as he's saying, he says, money is a tool. A creation shouldn't love the creation more than the creator. Okay, Yeah, absolutely. We're supposed to love Yahweh more than anything and put him first. So if we put him first in all things, we don't have the problem, you know. But you have to have money to exist. You're not getting around in this world without it.
Well, I don't know if I agree with that. Who needs money if you got God? He owns everything.
Well, okay, who needs money if you got God? How are you going to buy your kids a gallon of milk?
I guess you have to have the money.
Well, sometimes women say insane things without thinking about them, you know. I mean, I get it. I'd rather not, but you got to have you got to buy the clothes that you wear, so on and so forth. You have to have money. You have to have
money. Money makes the world go round.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, it should be love makes the world go round, you know.
Yeah, you need a shovel unless you need to dig a hole.
Okay, well, you still got, I bet you're paying an electric bill over there. I bet you're paying an internet bill over there. We have to have money for what, radio? Oh, to keep radio on the air, we have to have money. So, yeah, there's no way around it. You're going to have money. Even if somebody else pays the bills for you, they're paying the bills. They still have to have money.
The money pays your bills, so, yeah.
There's no way out.
It touches your hand. It's your bill. It's your money. Yeah, yeah.
There's no way out and around it.
Well, I'm broke. I need some money.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, tell everybody where they can find us. We'll go to break early.
You can find all of our contact information, radio program archives, and church mission church updates at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. We'll be back in 4 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Whether you are pre-trib, mid-trib, or pre-rath, or post-trib, whatever your position is, this book will help you to find the truth. If you're really looking for the truth about the rapture, I honestly believe you will find it in this book. It'll settle in your spirit because the truth is the Holy Spirit knows the truth about the rapture. And one of the reasons that the people other than post-trib can't seem to find peace about this is because the Holy Spirit is trying to tell them that they don't have the truth. That is, until they find post-trib. But either way, this is going to help you to find the peace about the rapture. I really recommend you get it. We offer them in shrink wrap sets of 10. 1 for 20, 10 for 30, and 20 for 50 at prophecyclub.com. 1 for 20, but don't do that. 10 for 30, 20 for 50, give you extras to give to your friends. Because once you read this one, you're going to be handing this to your pastors, to all your Christian friends, and just ask them to read it. If they get through the first chapter, they're going to read the whole book, and they're going to love it, and it's going to help them to really find the truth about the rapture. How Pre-Trib One at prophecyclub.com.
In this time of the social and spiritual breakdown of America and the world, in these prophetic end times, God is calling multitudes of Christians to the Ozarks and other safe havens around the world to survive so they can spread the gospel. The Ark Haven Intentional Neighbors Vision is to prepare Christians physically, mentally, and spiritually for these end times. Thousands are coming to the Ozark Mountains in Arkansas and Missouri, where even the CIA says it's one of the safest places on earth. The intentional neighbors concept allows Christian neighbors to own adjacent land to each other so they can aid and help each other. The community is exploding with nurses, a doctor, and other professionals, as well as many others. If you cannot afford to buy a house, you can rent a house. Call 479-502-1789. That's 479-502-1789. Or visit arkhaven.org. That's arkhaven.org. Tell them Pastor Dan sent you.
Well, we're back. This is Pastor Dan and
Linda Catlin.
And you're listening to what?
the Messiah's Branch Radio on American Voice Radio Network. Prophecy Hour. Oh, we are 7 o'clock spot. We're on the Prophecy Hour.
You're listening to the, all of it's the Prophecy Hour. You're listening to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Okay. Well, folks, in James chapter 2 it says, "What does it profit, my brother, though a man have faith and he have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding you give them not the things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yet a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without thy works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. But the devils also believe and tremble. Will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? If you are saved, works comes natural. Yeshua says you'll know them by their fruits. And that's the same thing. That's what works are. Those are the things that you do because you're a believer in Messiah and you believe in his word and you do his word, so those things come natural. So faith without works is dead. You know, it shows you who you are. Judge them by, in other words, judge them by their actions, not by their words. Because talk is cheap. You know, you can talk all you want, but you got to not only talk the talk, but you got to walk the walk.
And a lot of them say one thing and do another, that's for sure.
Yeah, a large percentage
of
people out there.
A lot of them,
yeah. Yeah.
I began to not count it till it's in my hand because a lot of people say they're going to do this or that, and they never do it. Never, ever, 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 ever.
Yeah, I have to look twice at my, you know, even after it's in my hand.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm now almost where, you know, there's a new check. I better make sure it goes through the bank first, but I don't usually deal with the checks. The woman sitting over here deals with the checks. But we care for the people the Father sends us, people, men, women, and children from all walks of life who've had a bad break and come to us from hell. It's homeless and poor. The poor being people that can barely afford food but yet have a roof over their head. And we, so what kind of things do we want?
Everything.
What do you mean, Mother?
Anything and everything, from a pencil to a piece of toilet paper to a bar of soap to all kinds of food, Bibles, anything and everything.
Large print King James Version Bibles, I really need some badly, but basically it boils down to everything that they need, that you need to exist, they need, the poor need. So pray about it.
If the Lord puts it on your heart to donate it to the Messiah's Branch, he's bringing somebody to get it.
Right. We don't get any help from any government agencies. It's only folks like you that support us. If we're now in our 23rd year. We'll start our 24th year June 1st. Will be the start of our 24th year. We minister to people in a part of town that most people don't even want to drive through it. And I used to say after dark, but it isn't even after dark anytime. I don't advise coming to that neighborhood unless you have a strict business. But isn't that where the body of Messiah is supposed to be, is among the sinner and the people that need him the most, and that's where we're at. We are the last hope for so many, and we are responsible to care one for another, as we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where?
Your heart.
Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. It's not free. Donations keep us on the air. You can donate online, by Cash App, over the phone, mail, check, or money order. You can find all that information. Where at?
ProphecyHour.com. That's ProphecyHour.com.
And again, if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. If it's for radio, mark it for radio, or if you've got a specific use, or just do the check. You send a check in the mail, you know, you don't have to put anything on it, but if you want it for radio, then put on it radio.
If you want it for anything specific, mark on the note that what it's for, because otherwise they're going to general billing money where everything gets taken care of.
Well, in other words, whatever's needed at that moment that check comes is what it gets spent on.
Right.
You know? Yeah, I'm just trying to make it plain English for them. You know, you would be amazed at how many simple things that I've said on radio that people come back with it all twisted. And
I believe it. I know.
So, yeah, that's why I'm a stickler on saying, wait a minute, you know.
That's one thing I hate about text, because if you text somebody, they completely can take it completely out of context, not even what you meant to say at all, and still read it the same way you wrote it.
Well, right. And but the problem with text is most people don't understand, a lot of people don't understand, because they can't see your face or anything. And if you don't put some kind of an emotion thing on it, then they don't know if you're being, you know, if you're angry or not angry. I've been accused of being angry before. I'm not angry. I just said.
Yeah,
blah,
there's
blah,
no
blah.
Emotion or sound in the wording. So when you read it, you just take it how you read it. And it, yeah, it's.
You more or less take it as to the mood you're in.
Right.
Okay.
Anyway, the U.S. city cooks up insane new idea that bans new gas stations to fight climate change. By Jonathan Jones, March 23rd, 2023. The city councilors in the Democratic Party stronghold of Louisville, Colorado, voted this week to set a limit on the number of gas stations in the city. While the rest of the world will continue to drill for, refine, and use abundant and cheap oil, the liberals running the Denver suburb that is home to roughly 20,000 people intend to do their part to help the climate by setting back their own economy. The Art of Virtue, the Act of Virtue singling will come at the expense of convenience for citizens and will presumably see the city lose some tax revenue. Colorado is home to many former Californians whose voting pattern run the Golden State. People who made their old home intolerable, oppressive, and expensive by picking bad leaders with bad ideas uprooted their lives to move off to the mountains. They have now made Colorado expensive and are working on expanding the government's influence over people's lives.
Okay, stop a second. This is a thing that's big deal. A lot of people are moving out of California and New York. Well, and it's right. See, they've got higher taxes and everything, and they decide to move. But they're the ones responsible because they voted those people in. But, see, they're taking those same ideas that ruined their state, whether it's New York or California, to another state. And then, therefore, ruin and becoming leaders, you know. The first thing they want to do is they want to change it to be like California or change it to be like New York, which is utter garbage.
Right.
And, you know, we've even had some California people show up in this city. Now, I don't personally know them or how they think, but
they want to change it to how California was before they ruined it, and now it's ruined, so they want to move somewhere else, but they still want to change it the way they changed California and ruin everything.
They just want everything like California. They just don't want to pay the taxes. That's the deal.
Wow.
That's the deal. The thing, it wasn't their, let's get this straight, it wasn't their liberal ideas. They love the liberal ideas in the States. They love all the crazy sexual things. They love all of it. The thing that they don't like is that California and New York had to dramatically raise taxes to pay for all that. So all they're running from is the taxes, the ideas, their ideology, everything else they're bringing with them. They still love it. Okay, so go ahead.
Okay, where did Louisville City Council look for inspiration for this insane idea? California, naturally. Banning or limiting new gasoline service stations is a growing trend for local municipalities due to health and environmental concerns with the continuous use of gasoline-powered vehicles and equipment, the council's ordinance proposal stated. It added, early adopters of bans included Petroleum, Santa Rosa, and Sonoma County and
Sonoma
in California. Councilman member Maxine Most told Fox News the council felt obligated to take a step toward saving the world from gasoline. We have an obligation to take every step possible to address the changes to our climate that are ravaging our planet and directly impacting the health and well-being of livelihoods and the constituents we represent in Louisville, she said. The Daily Camera newspaper is a neighboring Boulder reporter reported the measure to cap the number of gasoline stations allowed to operate in Louisville at six passed unanimously on Tuesday night. If any existing gas stations closes for more than 1 year, any business seeking to reopen that location will have to ask for a special permit to sell gasoline. Additionally, any future gas stations that operates within Louisville will be required to install electric vehicle charging stations.
Okay, stop.
Wow.
They do go on to admit that they say what they are going to do isn't going to do anything to change climate change or anything, but they just feel obligated to do it. And so, you know, liberalism, that's what it is. It's just completely nuts. But it's been done through the they took over our schools and such, and these are the things that are being taught. Climate change is nuts. And it's basically a religion. It's not real. Let's go with this, though. While it's not real, they sure act like it. Okay. But
wow.
What was it I was going to say? There was something really important. Okay. Oh, yeah, liberal women. Yeah, they recently did a survey and a study released that from reputable people that says that, I'm going to let my wife guess this one. How big a percentage of liberal women do you think have mental health problems? Be honest.
100.
Okay, well.
Okay, in their survey, it probably comes out to 90 or 85 or somewhere.
No, it's not that high, but it is legitimately that they can prove through medication use, doctor use, and so on and so forth, you know, now it's like 40-some percent. That's a large number of people that have health problems. Let's go with this. And so probably, you know, we see these liberal women screaming and going off and being berserk and doing all these bizarre things. That's probably the ones with the mental health problem. You know what I'm saying out there? And 47% is a big number to have clinically diagnosed mental health problems and out there. But liberalism in period does not make any sense. It is a mental health thing.
It's evil.
Well, yes, it is. It's that much evil. When you take God out of the equation, that's what you get. You know, and God was taken out of the equation by whatever the church, the church started being politically correct because they adopted the 501(c). And this is a historic fact. You can look it up. It's called the Johnson Amendment, done in 1958, Senator Lyndon Johnson. It's all a historical fact. I thought about writing a small article or even a book about it. But the point of the matter is, that's what it is. It's sickness. And what the people behind it, though, aren't sick. But they're used all these things to turn the United States into what it is because they're trying to destroy the United States. So they use all these crazy things. Take God out of it, anything's open. We are turning into Babylon. In fact, that's what Dimitri Dudeman said, the angel told him, that they called America Mystery Babylon. And why? When he asked the angel, he said, well, why? Why call it Mystery Babylon? And it says, because we let too many other gods into our country. You know, and so these are people that are worshiping all other things, even themselves. You know, they worship that phone. That phone is an idol. When anything that you worship more than God is an idol, that's an idol. They can't go without it. Can't go 10 minutes without a phone. Anyway, moving right along. And on top of that, we'll go with this one right here. Beware, your gas stoves are in trouble.
Yeah, the Biden Energy Secretary Granholm now admits Biden regime wants to ban some gas stoves. Natural gas stoves, which are used in about 40% of homes in the U.S., emit air pollutants such as nitrogen dioxide, carbon monoxide, and fine particles matters at levels the EPA and World Health Organizations have said are unsafe and linked to respiratory illness, cardiovascular problems, cancer, and other health conditions, according to reports by groups such as the Institute for Policy Integrity and the American Chemical Society. The federal agency said last month.
Okay, and these people are liberals, you know. You can't believe anything they say.
No.
You know, so they're just twisting it around because they're trying to shut off everything natural gas. They want everything electric. But you can't stop with oil. you know, everything, look around you, everything in the, where I'm sitting in this office, everything except for walking on the ground outside has created some place. There's oil in it. Oil is in everything. It's in your medications. It's in the making of absolutely everything, whether it's the machine that made it. Even if it's an electric machine, you still have to have lubricants. And oil goes into making every kind of plastics. It's got oil in it. You know, making metal, it's got oil. It's got oil. Everything's got oil. Colors, got oil. Everything. Everything.
Well, you'd shrivel up and die if you didn't put oil on your skin. Well not how, die, but shrivel up and wrinkle up.
What? Okay. Wow. Okay. Never thought about that yet. Shrivel up if you don't. Okay. Anyway, moving right along. So let's hear what the rest of this is. We've got to get something.
Okay. Now the Department of Energy is coming for your gas stoves. A second federal agency proposed limits on energy consumption for gas stoves. This approach by DOE could effectively ban gas appliances, said Jill Natonia, the vice president of the Association of Home Appliance Manufacturers. We are concerned this approach could eliminate fully featured gas products. The trade group said 95% of the market for gas products would likely not meet the new proposed rules.
Okay, stop. That's all we need. And so, yeah, they're coming for your gas stoves. And so, you know, you folks better really pray and find your voices. See, the whole problem of this, why I said it's the church not speaking up, but it's also you folks. You don't speak up. You need to speak up or support those people that are speaking up. Because by being, you know, complicit, that's what it is. I still believe there's more of us than them, but us is silent. So, anyway, pray about Sport and Talk Radio. Anyway, guess what? Just read the top of that.
Mr. Woman of the Year, USA Today honors transgender state representative Jim Hoff.
Yeah, so the Woman of the Year by USA Today is now for the second year in a row is a transgender female, you know, and has been for a couple years. It's just ridiculous. That's insanity. Any sane person would tell you, even there's some real liberal doctors that even come out and said, it's just simply insanity to say that there's more than two sexes. There isn't. You know, that goes against everything.
There's no such thing as transgender anyway. You can't transfer your gender from a male to a woman or transfer from a woman to a man. That's impossible.
Even if you cut off body parts and do all that stuff chemically, your body is still different than a man and a woman. And that's why the international agency that allows sports, the international agency said that it's at birth.
You can't transition. It's impossible. It's insane to even, that's not even a word. It's something they made up.
Of course it is. But you see, people are afraid of being canceled. And so they won't speak up against it. Or people, here's the bigger thing. Here is the bigger thing. This is a problem with people wanting to be part of whatever's going on right now. It's just like there's a lot of people who became hippies because hippies was the thing. I remember when Urban Cowboy came out. All of a sudden, a bunch of cowboy bars popped up, and everybody wanted to be a cowboy and went around buying cowboy hats. They want to go along with whatever the end thing is. And they made it the end thing to have a child in, this child's mine's transgender. My son is now a female. So that makes them cool. And so that is where that comes. And that garbage was put in. But again, if you take God out of it, things happen. Anyway, I'm going to read this one. Okay. I had Michael Snyder on a few weeks ago and he was telling me, we were talking about the Ark of the Covenant, and he was saying that just through things that he read and everything, and from knowledge that we already knew, that the Ark of the Covenant he thought was going to come out soon. And then somebody sent him something from the Temple Institute that we didn't know was there, and it's not widely published, but I'll read it and then I'll talk about it. And this is from Michael Snyder. This is from one of his newsletters. And as you know, folks, Michael Snyder's on here with me monthly. And by the way, he won't be on again until the 20th because the feast Passover feast and week unleavened bread will be there and it'll get right in radio. Anyway, point is he'll be back on the 20th. Anyways, this is from his article. It says, I told you they know exactly where the Ark of the Covenant is located. This was March 16th newsletter he put out. A reader reported, this is Michael again speaking, a reader has pointed out to me that the Temple Institute is even publicly admitting that they know exactly where the Ark of the Covenant is on their own website. This following excerpt comes from a page where the Temple Institute answers frequently asked questions. And then for those of you who don't know, the Temple Institute is the people over there in Israel that have been making all the things for the temple. They have all the things, even the cornerstone and everything ready to build a temple. Okay. And apparently they have the Ark too, so to speak. The Ark of the Covenant is one of the most fascinating of all temple-related objects. There are many theories about what happened to the Ark of the Covenant, and speculation abounds as to its actual location. And I know there's many TV programs made about it. Oh, they think it's here or there. Well, Ron Wyatt stumbled across it and found it. Anyway, some people think it was taken to the Vatican, together with other temple vessels, such as those depicted on the Roman monument, the Ark of Titus. There are many authentic ancient historical chronicles and even more popular legends that attest to many sacred vessels having been taken away to Rome. However, this does not apply to the most holy feature of the first temple, the Ark. While some claim to have evidence that the Ark is in Ethiopia, which I never believed and it's garbage, of course, moviegoers were treated to a fanciful version of the story in Raiders of the Lost Ark. In reality, the expression Lost Ark is not an accurate description for the Jewish people, from the Jewish people's point of view, because we have always known exactly where it is, and I've seen rabbis admit it before. So the Ark is hidden, and hidden quite well, but it isn't lost. Tradition records that even as King Solomon built the first temple, he already knew through divine inspiration that eventually it would be destroyed. Thus Solomon, the wisest of all men, oversaw the construction of a vast system of labyrinths, mazes, and chambers and quarters underneath the Temple Mount complex. He commanded that a special place be built in the bowels of the earth where the sacred vessels of the temple could be hidden in case of approaching danger. Midrash tradition teaches that King Josiah of Israel, who lived about 40 years before the destruction of the first temple, commanded the Levites to hide the ark together with the original menorah and several other items in the secret hiding place which Solomon had prepared. This location is recorded in our sources, and today there are those who know exactly where this chamber is, and we know that the ark is still there, undisturbed, and waiting for the day when it will be revealed. An attempt was made some few years ago to excavate towards the direction of this chamber. This resulted in widespread Muslim unrest and rioting. They stand a great deal to lose if the Ark is revealed, for it will prove to the whole world that there really was a holy temple, and thus the Jews really do have a claim to the Temple Mount. Absolutely, and there's the point. In the Middle East, the Muslims know it. They don't know exactly where it's at, but the Jews have known it. They've always known it. Ron Wyatt found it, and he passed out when he found it, but there was a picture even taken, and it's in one of his DVDs. It's pretty blurred, but you can see some kind of a gold angel figurine. Just can't see it real clearly. Point is we think, and I think, I want you to, our time clock is Israel. We need to watch Israel, but it would not surprise me that it doesn't come out soon, because Ron Wyatt even said, this is will come out as a witness, a great witness, in the very time of the end. And it'll be in the time when the Antichrist is approaching or is here. And so I truly believe that. After all, now the real Mount Sinai, which Ron also rediscovered, the Muslim people already knew where it was at. They called it the Mountain of Moses. In fact, you know, that's what they called it. But it was rediscovered by Ron Wyatt. In fact, so people are now, you can get it, you can book a tour with Joel Richardson, and you can fly over there and visit it, you know, and you can visit it where...
Stan went with him, didn't he?
What?
Stan went with him, didn't he, on a trip?
Stan went, but he couldn't make the stands over.
Yeah.
I couldn't make the, you couldn't.
I couldn't drive. I couldn't hike.
Yeah, that's the point was Stan. He couldn't hike to the top of the mountain. They drove to the mountain, but to get up to Mount Sinai, the top part.
I can look from the bottom like Stan.
Yeah, well, Stan tried. Bless his heart. He made it about half the mountain. Joe Richardson, I told Joe, I said, make sure you take care of my buddy Stan. And he loaned him a walking stick, which Stan said if he wouldn't have had the walking stick, he'd have fell down the mountain.
Oh, no.
You know. And,
Stan.
But, and I didn't tell Stan that I told him to look after him. But
see, that's the problem. Even if you did get to the top, it's coming down.
Exactly.
I don't feel like rolling down a hill. Mountain.
Anyway, in fact, now that I've got the some things straightened out, I'm probably going to have Joel Richardson on pretty quickly. Okay, Mission Church, we're serving over 100 people, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so
114 last Tuesday, 107 last Friday, and I'm not sure, it was Friday, Tuesday. I get my Tuesdays, why do I get them mixed up? Anyway, yes, we're feeding over 100, so all help helps.
Yeah, so that's across the board. And usually March is one of our better months, because income tax bails people out or whatever, but it's been really, really slow. And so we both need checks in the mail and by PayPal. Whatever you can do to help will help.
And summer's coming and the storage shed's empty. So if you have any kind of leftover stuff that you do garage sale, get a hold of us. We'll give it out.
Right. And we do need some large print King James Version Bibles. We're real desperate for them. And if you guys have bought some prophecy books or something that was messianic or something and you no longer want them, hey, mail me the books. I will give them out to people that can't afford them. And so books is also a good thing. Anything to help. But pray. Speak up. Support talk radio. Anything else?
No,
sounds like
I'm blank.
Okay, but you need to remember this, folks. No matter what other people say, there is only one true God. He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins. And he rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him is the way to the Father. Not by anything else.